Today, the title of this message is about getting ready for the flood. The upheaval of the society today. The corruption of the political arena. It is just horrendous as we live through these years and generation. And as you and I begin to undergo this time of upheavals in our society, we realize there is such an increase of wickedness and evil around us. It's just like having a tsunami coming over and causing a lot of destruction into many lives. Never would I ever thought this day that I could literally hear sexual confusion. Never have I ever thought that abortion can be approved nearly all over the place in this world. Never have I ever thought that even a nation could approve sex with animals. Never have I ever thought that all these horrendous news that could even take place in this generation and time. And I began to realize how bad the situation is, that we need to caution ourselves and be prepared. Because this is the kind of flood, though it may not be literal, but it's the kind of flood that has brought destruction into the world, into our time as today. It is my great concern that the body of Christ, Christians and whosoever, need to get ready for the flood. And so I began to realize that Genesis 7, Noah has given us a great message of preparation, what you and I should do in order to be saved. And this is the message that I want to bring across to you, to get ready for the flood. Genesis 7 speaks so much about the Lord's instructions, the Lord's invitations, and also the Lord's protection. But before I do that, I want you to understand Genesis chapter 6, because God actually announced the warning. The Lord kept warning Noah that there will be a flood, and the warning that he told them was accompanied with this message of 120 years given to them before they perish in the flood. You can see that in Genesis chapter 6, verse 3. Let me read to you. Then the Lord said, "My spirit will not contend with humans forever, for they are mortal. Their days will be 120 years. Now, 120 years refers not to the man's new lifespan, but to the years remaining before the flood, which we interpreted as the grace of God." 120 years given unto them. Up until then, the Lord is going to pour out the flood. God's grace has been extended by giving all mankind a further period to repent. We often struggle with these issues about the Lord saying the sons of God and the daughters of man. Well, brothers and sisters, the Bible says the sons of God and have sexual relationship with the daughters of man, and there they began to produce offspring, which we call them the Nephilim. But listen to me. A lot of interpretation has gone out. The sons of God refers to the people of God, which is from the line of Seth, Adam's son. Then the daughters of man. Did you see the difference? Sons of God and daughters of man. Daughters of man is the line of Cain. Line of Cain was already cursed by God. And there was intermarriage. There were a sexual relationship among themselves. And evil began to spread all over. And the evil was so intense, and the wickedness was so intense, because Nephilim, as you and I could see in Genesis chapter 6, verse 4, he says, Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterward when the sons of God went to the daughters of man and had children by them, they were heroes of old, men of renown. Some people interpret Nephilim as giants. Brothers and sisters, get rid of the idea. Nephilims are not giants. It simply means they are renowned. The original word for in Hebrew, the Nephilim simply means they were known as the fall. And who were these Nephilim? They were fallen people. Why? Because they were wicked people. They were in their evil is so intense that you cannot even imagine. Just like what we are seeing today, that evil and wickedness can be understood as immeasurable. And because of this, as Nephilim is been interpreted as the fallen ones, not the giants, but the fallen ones. That when they were spreading their evil, everybody admires them. Just like today. I can't imagine at this point of time that people could admire evil. Wickedness is sanctioned. Immoral exercises were accepted. Living together in one room, not even married. You may call me conservative, never mind. I always believe that when you stay together is when you're married. When you're married, you stay with your wife in the same room. If you're not married, don't even stay together in one room. That is a very mild situation, but the intense of the wickedness is even far greater during that time. And because of this, the Lord decided to get Noah, who is known as blameless and righteous, to build an ark. Because the Lord has forewarned him that there will be a flood. But you must understand, the condition and the environment doesn't seem like it. There is not even a single drop of water. It's a dry place. And here God spoke to Noah. Go into the ark, you and your whole family, because I found you righteous in all generation. Noah was called to preach the gospel, to preach the word, to preach the message, to preach the warning to the people, to the neighbors. But they all ridicule him, mock at him. You got to be silly, old man. You must understand, he was already 500 years old. Noah began to preach, and the community began to ridicule while the ark was being built. I want you to think about this for a moment. Think about it. If Noah refuses, if Noah would have given excuses and said, no, I don't think I would like to have the bunch of animals coming into the ark. It will stink and it will be smelly. What if Noah refused because of certain doubts in his mind and told the Lord, Lord, there is not even a single evidence of water. Just like many of us, we look for the evidences and say, God, how can ever I do anything like that since there is no sign? And so, I want you to think about what if it applies to me. If you receive this instruction from the Lord, how many of us today would have blocked out our blessing? Isn't it true? If we would have followed exactly what the world is thinking, they will probably give an excuse such as, Lord, I don't think I can because there's too much work to be done. Lord, I know you want me to build the ark, but Lord, you know me. I'm in fact a very busy man. I'm in a corporate world. Lord, whatever your idea is, Lord, I think I have a better idea than that. There is a better way. There's a shortcut. Some of us may even say, Lord, look at me. I don't think I'm qualified. I can't even hold a hammer. Lord, I don't think I could do anything about building an ark. I can't even build a simple table. I'm not qualified, Lord. Lord, you know what? There are people saying all these things. They're mocking at me. They're ridiculing me. I'm so discouraged. I'm so despairing. And I don't think you should get me to do so. Think about all these implications if Noah refused to do what the Lord told him to do. Think about the implications. And I'm sure in your mind right now, they will all be drowned. Am I right or not? If Noah refused, they will all be drowned. If we refuse to get ready, likewise, we will miss God's deliverance. If we refuse to get ready, we will miss God's blessing. If we ignore the warning signs, we will miss the grace of God. Brothers and sisters, can I say this to you? The flood is coming. And I'm going to say it very loud and clear. The flood is coming. You can either choose to get into the boat or you can be swept away. So what does this warning simply mean to me? I'm going to show you three very important lessons how you and I together should get ready so that we can be saved and experience the power of God's deliverance. Are you ready for that? Amen. First of all, learn to respect the instructions. Learn to respect the commands of God. I could literally hear the instructions as I read this passage that the Lord spoke to Noah. These instructions given by the Lord was given by the time when there was not even a single drop of water, and God told Noah to build the ark. And from building the ark right up to the point when the Lord says, enter the ark, there is a process. And within the process, the Lord even told him, get all the animals, only a pair of each type, of each kind. Noah worked and worked and worked, yet at the same time followed God's command. Noah kept preaching and working on the boat. I do not know about you. After doing all that, the environment remains the same. Preaching the gospel to the people, yet there is no signs of change. Telling the people to get excited, still there is no sign of change. What will you do if you face up with this situation? How many of you would have quit and give up building the ark? How many of you would have given up your position and your calling and said, there is no change. For 10 years I preach and there is no change. I would say, just like Noah said, preach and preach and preach while working on the ark, having all the wooden things carried through, yet there is no sign of change. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, nonetheless, with all of this thing, the Bible tells me, Noah obeyed all the Lord's commands. Despite the situation, nobody responded. People were still mocking at him, ridiculing him. Yet the Bible says Noah did all that the Lord commanded him. You see, brothers and sisters, I believe with all my heart as I read the passage in the book of Genesis, Noah was given very specific directions, not only to do what he's supposed to do, but more so with the building of the ark. He was told exactly how big the ark was supposed to be. He was given the measurement. He was given the kind of wood that he needs to use. And at the same time, he needs to cover it with a kind of tar so that it will be waterproof at that time. Then not only that, he was told not only to bring in the animals, but also to bring in food for his family and the animals. But watch this. He told Noah only to build one door. Just build one door. That is the only door where you enter, and that's the only door where you exit. Only one door. No other doors in that boat. I believe that you and I know that Jesus is the only door. There is only one door for life. It's only through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. That's why he says, I am the way. Brothers and sisters, Noah respected the instructions. He didn't argue. He didn't debate with God, unlike many of us would do. The beautiful picture that I see about Noah is this. He actually listened to God, he trusted God, and he believed in God. Don't you see the important message for us today? in regards to the commands of God when God has given to us? What was the greatest command that God has given to us? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Even with that, we struggle. We struggle. We decided to do something else, and not knowing that the something else we do is going to defy our love for Jesus. Love the Lord with all your heart. That's what the Bible says. And that command, we had difficulty, we struggle. We say, Lord, I have other things, Lord. I got some other more important things. You mean Jesus died for us in vain? I'm sure there is this instruction that God has given to us. So, brothers and sisters, listen to this. Noah did all that God has commanded him, and that is the reason his family was saved by God's grace given during the 120 years. I do not know about you, but I believe should there be 120 years given to me to live, I believe that 120 years is the grace of God. Amen? How many of you here have reached 100 years old? Do you know whatever age you are in right now is the grace of God? And whatever more years that you have is the extension of God's grace before at any point of time that God would take us home. God is saying to us, if you obey and respect my instructions for you, your family will be saved. That will be one that we should always remember, respect God's instruction. Too often time, believers or young Christians take God's instructions very lightly. We need to take it seriously and say, Lord, this is what you want me to do. Therefore, I will do it. Somebody say amen. So I will do it. Secondly, receive the invitation. Receive the invitation. Notice something here. There is the word ark mentioned several times in the book of Genesis. But we need to learn to differentiate the ark of the covenant and Noah's ark. Because they look the same in English, but they are very different in Hebrew. Let me show you the difference. Tava is Noah's ark. This ark is not only about an enormous boat, but it also reminds us of the little basket that Moses was placed in. And that little basket was also known as Tava, which is that little ark, that little cradle that was floating on the river. And it was sent off to an unknown destiny. That is the ark, Tava. But the ark of the covenant has another word called Aaron. Or some people say Aaron. It simply means the chest. It's like a little cupboard. Essentially a storage container. And here, I want you to see this comparison. Noah's ark was a salvation from judgment and death. Whereas Moses' ark, or basket, was a deliverance from slavery and death. Did you see where I'm coming from? Noah's ark is a deliverance from judgment and death. Moses is about deliverance from slavery and death. What about the Ark of the Covenant then? The Ark of the Covenant is about putting people right with God. Putting people right with God, where people are saved from the wages of sin and are placed right with God. Apart from this Ark that we just heard, there is another Ark that all of us must remember. Is called the manger. Jesus was placed in this little cradle, this little manger. And in this little manger, we have the ultimate Savior. This is the ark that you and I should all go in. Because in this ark, you will have all the three definitions in regards to the Old Testament ark. We have the salvation from judgment, we have deliverance from slavery, and we have salvation from the wages of sin and be placed right with God. All these are found in the manger of that ark. This is where Jesus Christ is. And you know, knowing the fact that he is in the ark, this is what Genesis 7 says. Go into the ark. The Lord told Noah, go into the ark. Hebrew understanding is not go into the ark, it's come to the ark. Come into the ark. The implication is this. God is waiting in the ark. He's telling Noah, Noah, now, all of you, come. Come to the ark because I am waiting for all of you. He is waiting for us because he is wanting to pour out his judgment. Until we get into the ark, then the judgment will fall. Brothers and sisters, the implication is very strong. We are all invited to join God in his ark, where Christ's precious gift of salvation is awaiting for us. Likewise, his invitation is also for us to join him. That's why the Bible says, when he reigns, we shall reign with him. We are invited to join him in power and in authority and also to save life. He came to save life. Likewise, we too are going out to save as many as we can. We are called to join him. And I'm sure in your mind, the picture of the ark, Noah's ark, has preserved the lives of the people inside. My question to you, are you open to the invitation? All of us enjoy receiving invitation, am I right or not? Especially if I come around and say, would you like to come to my house and have a meal? What an invitation. When you're invited for a concert or a dinner or even a wedding, you're excited and you love to be part of it. Am I right or not? You want to be part of that celebration. How many of you know this word? RSVP. Respondeu vos plaît. You ask me what it means? Well, it simply means respond. Please respond. But then in this particular RSVP, there was this couple. They were the political asylum that was brought over to America. But they come from Eastern Europe. And Eastern Europe, I'm sure Martha would understand, they got very strong accent. And when they pronounce certain words, it can be quite unusual. And so one day they receive an invitation to a wedding and they saw the word RSVP. And they were wondering what it means. So together, he and his wife, they were trying to figure out this abbreviation or a cryptic letter, RSVP, and they do not know what it means. And suddenly the husband said, aha, I know what it means. But this is how he pronounced. He told his wife this. Listen to the way he said, and I hope I pronounced correctly. Instead of calling wife, he called wife, because that's the Eastern way. Wife. I know what it means. The W is always in V. So he says, this is what he stands. Remember, send wedding presents. RSVP, remember, send wedding presents. When I read this little story written by John Stott, he made a command and he said this. This couple made a mistake by imagining that the message was a demand, but in reality, it was an invitation. It's like, remember, send wedding presents. You are commanded to do so. But then in actual fact, it was just an invitation. And so John Stott elaborated this issue, and he said this: many of us, likewise, we make a mistake about Jesus Christ's invitation, and we often think he was commanding us. This is where our problem is. Sometimes when God made an invitation, we turn our back because we felt there is such a great demand. Brothers and sisters, God's invitation is very clear. It was never a demand, but it was a revelation of who He is, awaiting for us to be part of His plans. God is inviting you to be part of His plans. Are we actually open to that invitation? No wonder John 15 verse 4 says, "Abide in me and I in you." Unfailingly, I've been reading a lot of paradoxical men, women, and this is what is happening. Rich people who are all held in the grip of insecurity. Intellectual people have actually lost their way. Strong people are afraid and fearful of weakness and defeats. And with these paradoxicals that I see in our society, I long to echo Christ's invitation. And that invitation is about this: come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, come unto me and I will give you rest. An invitation for the people to come and to be part of His plan, because He is awaiting for you to come and join Him. His strength will be your strength. His wisdom will be your wisdom. His grace will be your grace. His love will be your love. He wants you to come and join Him. What an invitation. But today, my question is to the people of God: are we open to God's invitation? Or are we saying, "God, it is so heavy, it is so demanding, I can't do it"? Brothers, sisters, the Lord knows that we can't do it by ourselves, but with Him, all things are possible. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. This message about coming to join God, it tells me that I am not alone. I am here standing, but the presence of the Lord, His strength is enabling me to do the things that is part of His plan. You and I need to come to God and say, "Father, I want to come and join you to fulfill that plan." What is God's plan in your life? Aren't you ready for that plan? Or we often come to God only with our complaints. Brothers and sisters, listen to this. Don't come with your complaints. Come with the knowledge of what God wants to do. Come with that knowledge. Respect the instructions. Receive the invitation today. Jesus is sending His cards to you now. And He's telling you and inviting you, "Come unto me." Not just come to my front door, but come into my presence. Be part of my plans. Be part of what I want to do in your life. Finally, in Noah's message, in order for us to be saved, remain shut in. When you receive the invitation, remain shut in. Look at the scripture today. In Genesis 7 verse 13 says, "On that very day, Noah and his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, together with his wife and the wives of his three sons, entered the ark." And then Genesis 7 verse 15 to 16 says, "Pairs of all creatures that have the breath of life in them came to Noah, entered the ark. The animals going in were male and female of every living thing. As God had commanded Noah, then the Lord shut him in." Once the boat is filled with Noah's family and the animals, the Lord close the door behind them. You know what it simply tells me? It simply tells me that they are going to start a new chapter of their lives. Sometimes we are always prone to complain and argue with God about the closed doors. But closed doors unveil a very powerful message. God is preparing you for a new chapter in your life. Unfortunately, with Lot's wife, she refused to abide with this new chapter. She turned back and looked back. And the judgment of God came upon her. And some of us were saying, well, Pastor, that's just a story. Listen to me. Every story written in the Bible is a message for all of us. Somebody say, amen. Lot's wife turned and turned and became a pillar of salt. When we look back, while we are walking, how many of you know that you will hit something or fall? Isn't it true? If you look back and try to walk straight, you can't. When we were running, our coach will always tell us, when you run, you look in front. Don't ever look at your people who are running behind you. Because the moment you turn back, you move your focus and your direction will not be straight. You see, think about this. If Noah were to walk back to the door and insist that the door be open because he can't take the stench, he can't take the animal smell, and Noah can't tolerate that and decided to open the door, what do you think it will happen? The water will come in and they will be drowned. People, many a time, looking back to that closed door. When God closed the door, they tried to force it in. And they didn't realize there are consequences. If you force it open, you are insisting that the pain and the disaster will enter and you will get drowned with sorrow and relentless misery. Sadness will infiltrate into the home. What closed doors are like, many of us experience it. Especially some of us. We have closed doors in terms of our jobs. Sometimes we have closed doors in terms of promotion. Sometimes we have closed doors in terms of our residence application. Sometimes we have closed doors even to a relationship. You want that boy, you want that girl, but doesn't seem to have an open door. And you get very annoyed, frustrated, because God closed the doors and didn't even answer. How do you feel when you pray and you pray and you pray? God did not answer. And what most of us would do is this: God, where are you? Because we want God to answer that prayer. But God did not. And the door is closed. We get very frustrated because the door is not open. We are looking for the things behind the door. Think about that. If Noah and his children and his wife, they want to open the door, but the things that are behind the door is a stormy weather. God closed the door for a reason. Somebody say amen. The other side of the door was a boisterous storm. Floodwaters were waiting to engulf. And that is exactly sometimes our closed doors may have. And you try to push, you try to kick the door, and you want it to be open. Little will you realize that when it is open, the stormy weather and the flood will enter your home. When you have the closed doors, the Bible tells me it allows the boat to float safely. There is also a divine reason behind the closed doors. And I want you to see the book of Acts, chapter 16, verse 6 to 7. This is about Paul and his companions. They traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit. Listen to this. Having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. And I often wonder, Why is it, God, we are going to do your work? Why did you close the door? See, God is saying that there's something else he wanted for Paul and Silas to do before they take the gospel to the people of Asia Minor. This is a good lesson that we all need to learn. Because of this specific door that we want to do, God says no. God says no. As much as the Lord says, I want you to go to this Vietnam, I want you to go to Cambodia, I want you to go to Timbuktu or wherever it is, and the Lord says no. God did not permit me to go to certain places for that time, for that season. And so I began to sense a sensitivity of what the Lord is saying, and I said, no, I will not go. And so I began to see that the closed door is a stepping stone to a greater door of blessing. And I need to respect the closed door, because the closed door only shows that when God is in it, his purpose must prevail. I believe that this closed door is very vital. I should not complain about closed doors, because soon I know God will open the door when his orchestrated plan is fulfilled. And I know that God has a plan. I did not want to go, and so I decided to keep it as a closed door. You see, brothers and sisters, we need to realize that closed door is not to stop you, but it's a platform for a greater door. Are you with me? There's a greater door of blessing. That's why God closed the door. But don't try and turn back and force your way in and kick the door and try to break the door, because on the other side of the door is a very stormy weather. It will get into your life. It will get into your home. Brothers and sisters, history tells me again and again and again, Noah and the family and the animals in the ark were saved. Did you hear the word? Noah and the family and the animals were saved. This is something that we see in the scripture in Genesis 7:23. Every living thing on the face of the earth was wiped out. People and animals and the creatures that move along the ground and the birds were wiped from the earth. Only Noah was left and those with him in the ark. It's very important today that we listen to the Lord and submit to him. I want to close this message to help you not to take this message lightly, as though the flood will never come. In 10 to 20 years, perhaps less, I want you to know the flood is coming. In Noah's case, he didn't escape the flood, but it was his obedience and his love for the Lord allowed him to avoid the flood's destruction. You and I who live here on earth will not escape the elements of the flood. You will not. But your obedience and your love relationship with God will keep you safe and avoid the destruction of the flood. Because in Noah's case, we know that he didn't escape the flood, but he was given the grace to avoid the destruction of the flood. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And let me summarize these three important truths for you to be found saved in the ark of God. First of all, Noah did all that God has commanded him. I urge you today, respect God's commands. Amen? Respect God's instructions. When the message of the Word of God is preached, respect His words. Secondly, Noah took the invitation seriously and entered the ark. He did not say, Lord, Why do you want me to stay in the ark with all these animals? The Lord says, come. Because I'm waiting for you. I want you to be part of my plans. How many of you are ready to be in God's plans? How many of you are ready to be part of His plans? Because oftentimes we think about our plans. Today, please put everything aside. Put all your dreams aside. Now put yourself in God's plan. And I'm sure He will be able to fulfill that dream. Don't rush in. Don't fight with Him. Don't struggle with God. Learn to take the invitation and say, Father, I just want to be part of your plans. Even when I'm tired, I know you are my strength because you have given me the opportunity and privilege to abide in you and you abide in me. I am not on my own, but I live by the power and the grace of the Holy Spirit. And thirdly, he remained shut in. He accepted the closed door until God opens the door. This message that I'm giving you is to encourage you to get ready in chapter 7. I want you today to focus on this, to get ready for the flood. Don't be caught unexpectedly. In Australia, they tell you to have the checklist during the summertime in case there is fire. And during this time, they say there will be flood and they'll give them the checklist what to prepare for the flood if it comes. Today, I'm giving you a checklist to show you that you need to prepare yourself for the flood. The flood is coming, but you can avoid the destruction of the flood. I believe with all my heart, listen to this, there's going to be a shift in your life. Because we have seen enough of the paradigm landscape of our society today in this world. There's going to be a shift for us. And the shift is to take hold of what God is giving to us today. Take hold of His instruction. Take hold of His invitation. Take hold of the closed door. That you will be found in the ark of God. The spiritual ark of God, where the presence of God is in. And when you are in it, you can truly say, the presence of the Lord is in this place. When God is with me, who can be against me? Somebody saying, amen. Amen. Let's bow our hearts together. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to stand to your feet.
You've been listening to Pastor Calvin Sim from Life Solutions Christian Church. For more information, please feel free to contact us by phone on 0410-985-432 or find us online at www.lifesolution.org.au.